You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and find that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Praise the Lord for you. Glad you're here tonight. Good to have Brother and Miss West. Jared's mom and dad are here with us, and we're honored every time they come. Thank y'all for being here, and I hope you have a great stay while you're here and a safe trip home. Good to see Brother and Miss Parker. Hadn't seen them in a while, and glad they are here. And we're glad you're here too. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now again, we stayed late this morning, so we got to get out early tonight or something will happen. Amen. You have to offset that. So we're going to work on doing that. A lot of folks still sick. Remember to pray for them. I know Stacy had Braylee sick for a while, and she got well, and she tagged Todd, and then he got it. So I'm not sure how all that works, but you do. Those of you that have young children know how that goes back into all the time. So they're sick tonight, and others as well. And you remember to pray for them. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number. I'll tell you what. Let's just start reading in verse number 6. This won't be anything new to you, but I trust it'll just be something to encourage you. Before I do that, would you allow me to do this? Missionaries of the week, I don't want to forget them, is Mike and Beth Payton to Managua, Nicaragua. So you remember to pray for the Payton family as they're over in Nicaragua, winning people to Christ, starting churches, and teaching the deaf. Miss Payton knows sign language, and they have a deaf ministry there. They are graduates of Berean Baptist College down in Jacksonville, members of Emmanuel Baptist Church. They have been by here, if you remember them coming. It's a nice young couple, a little girl, and then they had a little boy on Valentine's Day. So their family's growing, their ministry's growing, and if you need more information about them, you can look up their ministry on the website. But pray for the Payton family. Missionaries to Nicaragua. Miss Brown went to Nicaragua not too long ago, and Miss Roderick, and brought me back some good coffee, so I know they got good coffee down there. But we're glad for this young couple that's doing what God's asked them to do. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul obviously is writing, and he says in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We'll stop our reading there. You know, God's given us a great treasure. And we get to spend that treasure every day, and that treasure is our life. God has given us life, and He's given us purpose. He's given us meaning, and He's done that for His glory and for our benefit. And God loves us so much that He lets us decide how we spend that life. Now, He asks us to do certain things, but He doesn't really require us. He doesn't make us do it. So every morning when I get up, I get to live my life. Now, they say that if you love what you're doing, you'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's kind of how I am, because I love what God has called me to do. I love it. Wouldn't want to change. Believe me, through the years, I'm getting close to being in the ministry 30 years now. Through the years, there's been those times that I've thought about quitting and going and getting a job at IGA or Lowe's or somewhere. Believe me, it has crossed my mind. But it doesn't take me long to snap out of that. And thank God for what God has allowed me to do with my life. I love it. I love it. I hope you are doing what God has called you to do. I hope you enjoy it. I know some of you have tough jobs. I know my wife has a tough job, and a lot of you do. And sometimes that gets monotonous, and sometimes it gets hard. But outside of that, we get to do what God has asked us to do. That is a decision that we get to make. I get to live my life however I want to. I could go in the preacher's office tomorrow, and he might fire me after the bozo thing. I don't know, but I ain't going to his office tomorrow and give him my resignation. I get to do what God's asked me to do, and I enjoy that. For some people, they base that decision, I see this in young people a lot, that they base that decision of life on what's good for them, what's going to benefit them. They don't really have much of a future in sight. They think about the now. And someone said they offer or they sacrifice the future for the present, the immediate on the altar of the future. And I'll tell you what, it's a sad thing. I can take you, I just spit on that, I'm sorry. I can take you to people that are in their early 20s today that made bad decisions when they were 15 or 17. I know one guy, he's 55. And he's made several real bad ones, amen? Listen, we get to live our life the way that we want to. I get to decide what I want to do every day, and you do too. Young people, I see them throwing their lives away, doing things now that is going to hinder them in the future. We know people in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s and in their 50s and right on whose lives have been shipwrecked and ruined simply because they made the wrong decision, simply because they didn't allow the Holy Spirit of God to direct their steps and guide their thoughts. Some folks say, well, I love the Lord and I'm saved, but I got some plans for my own life and I don't really want God messing them up. I remember hearing folks even when I was in Bible college, and they would say things like this: I'm afraid to surrender my life to God because He might send me to Africa. And I ain't got no desire to eat grubs and pine cones for the rest of my life. And I understand that. But it'd be foolish of us to not trust the Lord with the life that He has given us. I have plans of my own, Brother Earl. I don't want God to mess those up. They act one way, maybe in front of others, and then they go and they have and do their own decision. I want to preach to you just for a little while. I think I got 4 points, and they'll be short ones, and we'll get home in a decent hour tonight. A life lived for Christ. When all is said and done, and it's my turn to be laid out in front of a group of people to come by and look at me in the casket when it's my turn, I want my life to have counted for Jesus Christ. I want to love my wife. I want to love my family. I don't want to have anything come between me and my wife, me and my parents, me and my brothers and sisters. I want my life to count for Jesus. That's what I want. However small impact I might have, whatever God allows me to do, whatever footprint I might leave on the world, I want it to be a footprint for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Okay? So what do I have to do now while I'm alive? What do I have to do now? What did Paul do while he was alive? Because look at the footprint that he left on this world and in Christianity. And he left a big one, a footprint that none of us could ever fill. What did he do? What was his secret? We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. He learned to live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's one thing he did. But tonight, as Paul is nearing the end of his life, he gives me 4 things right here at the end of it that lets me know how he lived his life to impact the world for Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, I love you. I thank you for these folks. Lord, I love them. And they are my friends, and they are my family, and I'm glad to be in church with them tonight. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the Apostle Paul who followed the Lord Jesus and taught us many lessons by his life. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Teach us, Lord, how we can leave an impact on this world for the Lord Jesus Christ when it's our turn to say, I have fought a good fight. God bless our services. May the things we do honor you, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write this down at least in your heart? Here's 4 things that the Apostle Paul, by the way, let me read these verses again and we'll get right in. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Here's verse 7, the one you've heard and probably memorized. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? One thing that Paul did that made him accountable and let him have an impact on this world was fighting. Would you write that down? Fighting. Wait a minute, brother. What are we talking about? Listen, he said, I have fought a good fight. Well, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. We're not talking about mixed martial arts and judo and all that stuff that I am a professional at. We're not talking about all that. We're talking about I have fought a good fight, not a fist fight, not a struggle, not a wrestling match, not fighting with his parents, not fighting with his spouse, not fighting with the authority over him. He says, I am fighting the fight for Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that he lived a life, and that life for Jesus required that he fight. That's one thing that we have to understand. Nothing hardly in life comes to us easily. We have to fight for it. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. If you'll go back in your mind, and we won't take time to look at all of them, go back in your mind and think of the things that Paul had to put up with just to keep his walk with Christ, just to keep his faith glowing like it should be. All the people that were out to get him, people that were sent to kill him, imprisonments, beatings, shipwreck. Paul said, I fought a good fight. We all fight. We fight amongst ourselves. If you're married, you fight. I know you do. Sometimes Carl and I fight on purpose just so we can make up later because that's the fun part. Amen. Woo! Yes! Listen, we ain't had a fight in several weeks. Let's just have one so we can smooch later. Somebody say amen. Yes, we fight all the time. We fight each other. Young people fight in school. We've had several fights break out here at the school. Amen. Some of them were students. The rest of it were staff. Amen. Just fighting all the time. Miss Brown and Miss Roderick fist fight right in the hallway right there. I'll tell you what, we sell tickets to these things. We fight all the time. Paul said, listen, if you want to make an impact for Jesus, here's some things that you need to know. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to say, you can't talk like that around me. You're going to have to say, you're not going to do that in my presence. You're going to have to say, I'm telling you what's the truth. If you keep going in that direction, you're going to ruin your life. Paul said, I fought. I fought a good fight. Some things are worth fighting for. Preacher and I use this term all the time. That's not a hill worth dying on. Y'all use that? We do sometimes. But what that simply means is that ain't worth the fight. You can fight a skunk if you want to, but you're going to come away in worse shape than he is. Okay, you're going to come out stinking. So some fights are better just left alone. That's not a hill worth dying on. But I'm here to tell you tonight, and you know it already, some hills are worth dying on. Some are worth taking a stand for. You're not going to cross that line and expect me just to lay down and turn over. I'm going to fight you for it. I'm going to take my stand. I'm going to do what's right. You're not going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to use God's name in vain around me. If I hear you, I'm going to correct you. I can't hear half the time, and that's the truth. And we'll be sitting in a restaurant, and Carl said, did you hear what they said? I said, I ain't heard a blessed thing. I ain't heard nothing. And sometimes, you know, after she hits him with a fork or knife, we have to fight and tell him, listen here, we can't have that. And before I can get it out of my mouth sometime, Carl already said something. Excuse me, would you watch your mouth? And she don't say it like that, but hey, would you watch your language? There's some things worth fighting for. Paul said, listen, I have fought a good fight. When it's my turn to be laid out here and I'm offered up to heaven, I want it to be known that I have fought a good fight. Some things aren't worth getting involved in. Some of them we have to fight for. Tell you what, go ahead and don't fight for your family and see what happens to it. Go ahead and don't fight for your young children and see what happens. Go ahead and don't fight and don't take a stand for the good things in life and just let them run their course and see what happens. Here's a list of things that we have to fight. I do. I don't know about you. I have to fight sin. I have to fight self. Sensuality, satisfaction, sleep, seeking, Satan, speech, sliding, sickness, sorrow, suffering, stupidity, and sorriness. And I fight all them. And some things that don't start with the letter S, I fight them too. We have to fight them. Man, I'm telling you what, this world is not our friend. The longer we go, can you not see the painting on the wall or the writing on the wall that this nation is turning its back on God and we're not getting any closer to Him? Just because we elected a Republican president doesn't mean we had national revival. We're still a long way from what we ought to be. I'm still not everything God wants me to be, and we have to fight for these things. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. We can't just let our guard down and allow everything to just come into our lives. we're going to live for Christ, we must do it on purpose. What that means is we set some boundaries in our lives. And we fight to keep them boundaries. We talked about it again in Sunday school this morning. If I'm walking in the Spirit, then I need to stay in the boundaries that the Spirit sets for me. Number two, the first word is fighting. Number two, the second word is finishing. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In order to finish his course, he had to stay on track. He had to stay in the right direction. Notice he said, my course. Thank God that I don't have to finish Paul's course. I don't want Paul's course. Sometimes my course is bad enough. I don't want Paul's. I get to finish my course. God has a course for you. God has a path for you. God has a plan for you. And I don't care if you're 15 or 55 or 105. God has a plan for your life. He has a course that He wants you to finish. And in order for us to finish the course, we have to stay on track. It's so easy for us sometimes to get off track and to get out of the will of God. We have to put that last piece of the puzzle of our life in. And if we'll stay working at it, we'll have that beautiful picture. Several months ago, Carla brought out a jigsaw puzzle and poured it out on the kitchen table. I think it was 500 pieces. Okay? And I ain't never much put puzzles together, but doggone if that thing wasn't addictive. It was addictive. I'd come home from school and I'd look over there on the table and I'd say, I got to get over here and put that thing together because I want to see what it looks like. So we finagled with that thing. Finally, I got it all put together except one piece. I didn't put it together on purpose. Carla come home. I said, finish that puzzle. She went over there and put the last piece in and it was finished. We've done another one since then. It was 1,000 pieces. Okay? I looked up one on the internet. It's 23,000 pieces. We're not buying that one. Amen. Not buying that one. I think the one we got next is 2,000 pieces, so who knows where this thing will end. But that thing is just addictive to me. I get all the squares on the outside and put all them together and fill in the middle, and then you get that last piece, and you put it together, and there the whole picture is formed. Paul said, I have finished my course. Your course and my course are different, but you got a course. You got a course. Okay? Brother Sellers is getting old. Don't tell him I said that. Rascal's getting old. And you know what? I'm right on his heels. We're not going to be here forever. We're not going to be here forever. If Jesus tarries, then Brother Sellers will have run his course. Then Brother Earl will have run his course. And then somebody's going to have to take up the course and go from there. Listen to me. Paul said, not only have I fought, but I have finished. Next word, and I'm almost done. That is faith. Would you write that down? Faith. I have kept the faith, Paul said. He didn't say, I have kept my faith. He said, I have kept the faith. Above all else, I have kept my testimony while I was fighting, while I was finishing. I have kept my faith. Okay? I told you this before, and there's been times in my life when my faith was paper thin, if not thinner, and I didn't see any way out, and I have thrown the towel in on more than one occasion, and God, bless him, has picked it up and thrown it right back at me and said, your course ain't finished. Keep the faith. Keep on going. I know things are tough. I know the bottom has fallen out. I know that you're walking through the valley, and I know the sun is burning hot, but keep on going. Don't stop now. Listen, I got thousands, hundreds at least, of students that have come through this school and they know me by name, and I can't afford to stop now, because what kind of testimony would that have in the eyes of these young men and all those that have already passed through these doors? What kind of testimony would it have in your sight if you heard that Brother Earl had stopped, quit, thrown up his hands and gave it all away? That's not the half of it. I got a wife. I got children. And now I got grandchildren. And I can't afford to stop now. I can't afford to throw in the towel now. I got to keep going. I got to keep pressing on. There's a faith that I have to keep, not my faith. I got to keep the faith. I got to keep going. I got to keep going when I don't feel like going. I got to keep going when the devil seems to be sitting on my shoulder and won't leave me alone, because it would hurt the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ if I gave in. I got to keep my attitude right while I am fighting. Some people trade their testimony for a moment of pleasure in sin. A moment. And they throw away the faith, and they throw away the testimony for a fleeting moment of fleshly satisfaction. Oh, dear God, don't let that happen to me. Oh, Lord, help me to keep the faith. Help me to keep my focus. Help me to be filled with the Spirit of God, because I want to finish my course. And when they lay me out and people come by and said, boy, don't he look good? More than that, I want him to say this. There wasn't much to that old fella, but he kept the faith. He kept going. When the trouble hit, the times got bad. Keep it, protect it, guard it, hold it close. Last point. And that is, there's a future appointment. Okay, Paul said, listen, I have fought. I have finished. I have kept my faith. And the reason I've done all that is because there is a future appointment for me. He says in verse number 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. That day. That future day. One day we will stand before Jesus. Now, we're not going to stand before Jesus, are you listening to me, and answer for our sins. We're not going to do that. Somebody should say amen. We're not going to stand before Jesus and answer for our sins. He's already answered for them. He's already paid the debt for my sin. I'll never have to answer for one smidgen of one sin in my life. If I do, then I'm going to hell, because you cannot go to heaven with any sin. So we're never going to have to stand before Christ and give an answer for our sin, because He's already paid for it. And He'll say, what sin are you talking about? It's underneath the blood. It's separated as far as the east is from the west. It is delivered to the depths of the sea. I don't know what sin you're talking about, but we will have to stand before Him and be judged for the life that we lived in this body. And He said, those things that'll stay, the gold and the silver, the precious jewels, they'll abide the fire. They'll come out crisper and cleaner. The wood, hay, and stubble, those things I did with the wrong motive, those things I did with sin in my life, they'll get burned up. We'll all have to stand before Jesus. Everyone will have an appointment. Now, the lost people, if that's you, you will have to answer for your sins. You will have to answer for your sins. And there'll be no remedy then. The remedy's now, and His name is Jesus. There'll be no remedy then. Every life lived will give an account to the Lord for how it was lived. In order to live a life for Jesus, obviously you have to belong to Him. Are you saved? Do you care if you live for Jesus or not? I'm done when I say this. Listen, a life lived for Christ. I have preached many funerals. I have preached funerals of people that were saved and enjoying the presence of God. And I have preached funerals for people who had a testimony that they were lost. Those were hard. I know Brother Gene knows what I'm talking about. They're hard, because you can't preach them into heaven. You're very limited on the comfort that you can give the family. Very limited. I always say this, or I try to say this. If they could come back for just a moment, here's what they'd say. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Listen, are you living your life now in a way that it will impact eternity for the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone said it this way, live so as to be missed when it's your turn to go. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for all you are and all you have been and all you will be for us. Lord, Paul lived his life for Jesus. And that is obvious by his letters, by his life, and by his love. And Father, though we're not to be the Apostle Paul, our testimony is to be the same, that we need to live a life now by fighting and finishing in faith because of a future appointment where we'll all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. May we hear on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Lord, bless these folks. May the things we do honor you, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You may stand to your feet. Brother PJ is going to sing a song. And if you need to come down to the altar,